Live.
Streaming live.
Across the globe.
From Scottsdale, Arizona.
Summer Worldwide Network.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
You are listening to
Business Unplugged. With your host, Paul Konitz.
Today, Gregory Richards, head of strategy and optimization at Gazoom, will discuss some of the questions we regularly get from people that are, you know, looking to market or have some questions along the way that maybe they're not sure of. Today, I'm going to talk about programmatic advertising or media buying. Now, those are some terms maybe you have heard or you haven't heard of, and you just want some clarification on them. You should know them if you're a CEO, CFO, or CMO of a company, and you're dealing with marketing. You should know these things. So, Gregory's here with us today. Greg and I have worked together since like 2001. It's been a while, and so we're currently building out marketing strategies for people, and programmatic seems to come up a lot. People really don't understand it, which is what Greg is here to discuss today. So, Greg, how are you?
Hey, Paul. Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
Well, thanks for coming on today and talking about this, because we get this a lot. People get confused about it, and when people get confused about certain things about marketing, they end up not doing anything. So, we'll talk a little bit about it. But before we talk about that, I mentioned that it was either 2000 or 2001 when we started working together, and we always had kind of the same mission and ideas, and we would discuss that a lot. And, we really hit it off with that. So it just was natural for us to work together. So I want people to kind of understand a little bit about your background, and maybe you could share that with us before we get into the questions.
Yeah, absolutely. So I originally got my start with what is now AT&T, and as many did in the marketing and advertising field, what is the Yellow Pages. Worked there for almost 9 years and was really successful in my role. And during that time, I think obviously the print product saw the writing on the wall that things were acclimating to digital. And it's something that just sort of clicked and made sense to me. And AT&T saw that skill set with me and really empowered me to be Google certified when Yahoo was a thing, Yahoo certified, essentially empowered me to be certified as one of their digital experts. And then from there, it just took off and really made sense to where I worked my career to working for and becoming a digital director for Advance, which is the sixth largest media group in the country, and being a digital director there. While doing that, also launching a successful e-commerce business that essentially grew from nothing to well into the seven figures. And then from Advance, became a digital director for what is now the largest media group in the country, Gannett. So quite extensive experience in digital marketing over 20 years, which is hard to believe. And really just a tech nerd, if you will, across the board. I have really any and all digital certifications that one can hold, whether it be Google, Facebook, Snapchat, and IAB, many others as well. So really love to educate people on these solutions, how these solutions can impact success with their business, and help them make the right decisions in regards to how they should go to market with their retail spend.
Yeah, and it even goes beyond that. You and I, we spend, I wouldn't say every day, but maybe it's been every day. We are always on the phone together talking strategy for clients too, which is really critical, is kind of understanding and seeing those problems that clients go through, and then being able to have an answer to flip that around. That's really been, something we've been able to do and help clients with, which is fantastic. When you look at that, the big e-commerce client that you had and you worked with and built that out. I mean, it was always a constant change, right? There's a constant flux. And if you're not adapting to that, you get stuck behind the eight ball. And it was good that, early on in your career with Yellow Pages that you were able to say, hey, look, this is, the print is kind of going away, but digital was where they were going to be focusing, and you focused your attention on that. And again, that's a strategy session that people need to know about, that when you're in front of them, you could explain it out. So you're, that from me to you, you're very, very good at that. That's kind of like your, you know, your calling. So I've always been impressed with how you're able to do that. So we'll also look at one of the big questions we get is programmatic, right? So you and I discuss this a lot, and I just want you to kind of explain it the best you can. When, you know, somebody comes in to a business and tells the business, oh, you need programmatic and we could help you with this. Well, what is programmatic and why is it essential to a business nowadays?
Sure. So programmatic advertising essentially is the use of automated technology for media buying. And what that means is that technology is able to say within a fraction of a second, who's loading this web page? Is the person that loading the web page the audience or individual we're looking to target? Who else is also looking to target these individuals? And it's essentially a live auction in almost real time to decide who then gets served a display ad, a connected TV commercial, a connected audio, a pre-roll, many different forms of advertising solution. Really, why it is essential and important for a business is that in many cases, it's the catalyst or the introduction for your product or service. It may be you or me just on a particular news site or sports site, and we're served an ad. Or we're streaming on Hulu or listening to Spotify and introduced to an advertisement that may spark our interest, which then in many cases leads people to Google to start their search, to do more diligence, to find out more information. So it's a really large piece of that prospecting for your campaigns, right? Going out there and identifying individuals that are hobbyists of your product or services or are in market to actually buy. And then the evolution, if you will, or optimization of that is also the retargeting aspect of once we've identified those we've prospected, now let's make sure we stay in front of them with these same solutions.
And the interesting thing is, you could compete if you're a small business or a medium business or a large business. All three could compete in this market space. It's not just dedicated to, let's say, the Heinz's of the world or the big Procter and Gamble's of the world, right?
Absolutely.
Anybody can. And that's the unique thing about it, is that that's what it's great about. And let's talk about some advanced tactics when it comes to programmatic. So things like matchback audiences and utilizing first-party data for targeting. This, again, something that, you know, many people think is reserved for the big Coca-Colas and Pepsis of the world. But honestly, any company could do something like this. Can you explain to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So many of us have heard that there's been so many changes in regards to targeting and privacy and GDPR and all of these things, right? The great thing about programmatic is that it utilizes really in the most basic form a lot of the major third-party data aggregators that are out there. What that essentially means is the companies that are collecting information on everything you do online to fundamentally say you're this person probably within this age range and make this much money and your interests are cars, golf, and shoes, right? The next level of that is many businesses have email addresses. They have point of sale information. They have information on previous purchases, right? That is their first party data. And what many businesses don't take advantage of is utilizing that first party data, which essentially looks like taking a list of, again, your previous purchaser information and utilizing an encrypted upload into a DSP or a demand side platform, which serves programmatic, to essentially tell the software of those who have purchased previously, in addition to those other areas of targeting, so high level demographic, interest, income, go find me more of those individuals, right? And based upon those previous individuals' consumer journey, let's reverse engineer that to really, really hone in the targeting. And what that evolves to is a matchback audience. So again, of those individuals that we know who have purchased previously, go find those exact individuals online. Why that's important is because across many businesses, returning clients are more valuable clients. So many clients may want to run a campaign to get back in front of those previous purchasers. But again, being able to utilize the insights of those ideal clients allows us to target just that much better.
Yeah, and that and the great thing about that is it's cross-category. So this could happen if you're, say, you're a gambling company looking to target people that, you know, want to go to casinos, or you could kind of hone that market in and start bringing the people in. And like you said, it's much cheaper and much easier to get the people that already do business with you, know and love you, to re-up and do business with you, and then get people like them to do business with you than it is to go out and, you know, open up and try to find, you know, new clients.
Absolutely.
So it's definitely one way we love to use that if we can, especially for businesses that are really looking to kind of expand quickly. That's a good one. Brand safety. You know, according to a recent study, about 70% of people asked would not recommend a purchase or a brand if advertised on controversial content. So, for example, if your ad's placed in the middle of political ads or drug manufacturer, you may unconsciously see the center ad or that ad that's kind of associated in thread with that when it's being played, and be unfavorable to do business with them unconsciously. You won't even know this. But there are tricks along the way that you could do. I call them tricks, tactics. There's things that we could do internally to make sure your brand doesn't show up like that. Maybe you could discuss a little bit about that.
So speaking directly to that matter, in many cases, unfortunately, what I see with programmatic is an advertiser essentially giving their retail spend to a third party, a media buyer, or in many cases, or some cases, utilizing a self-service platform where there's no checks and balances, there's no KPIs, it is essentially buying at a CPM or cost per thousand basis. And the goal of that really data management platform is to spend your retail spend over that month, right? With that being the case, it can, in many cases does, buy low cost site inventory, meaning your ads may show up on nefarious sites, which is not ideal for your brand. Or to your point, may show up in between product spots that don't really reflect the messaging of your brand as well. The methods that we utilize really start with the DSP again, that demand side platform, which really specializes in only serving to high quality and really credible areas of the web. So again, showing your brand in a safer light, as well as then utilizing engagement metrics of understanding who's connecting with these ads, who's not connecting with these ads, to then better steer the ship of understanding where your audience is. So this is a process of not only utilizing software, but also utilizing people. And I think the disconnect nowadays is everyone goes out there and says, I have the latest and greatest software, and that's why we are better. The good news for us is that software has not taken over everything. There still needs to be that human aspect that is setting up the cadences, the frequency caps, as well as these key performance indicators that make sure that these campaigns align with the brand safety, as well as the success aligned with the brand.
Yeah, and I think that human touch is kind of the difference, right? We're building strategies for people, as opposed to just sticking them into a machine and letting them go.
Right.
I tell you, every day I get some sort of pitch on a software. Oh, use our software. It makes it easier. You could, you know, do things cheaper. And when you start looking at it, yeah, you probably could, but it's not a set it and forget it. You know, my clients that we work with, it's definitely not set and forget. Oh, yeah, we'll just dump it into the hopper and just let it serve ads all over the place. And we'll get into that because there's a term for that. But we'll get into that a little bit later. But it's it just doesn't work. And we know that. And we see that all the time. And that's when people get frustrated. And that's when they come to us. And, you know, they're like, yeah, we try that. It doesn't work. Right. But did you have a strategy going into it? Right. Did you do the right things going into it? And they're like, well, we don't know. We just gave it to the salesperson. Then they handled it.
Right.
And that's one of the differences between us, you know, and that goes to another point. There's so many solutions out there today in the market. You know, every day I'll get a call from somebody like, I want to do SEO or I want to do SEM or, you know, there's programmatic, there's social media, there's geo-targeting. You know, what is a right solution for a client? Because they're getting pitched on these services daily. And, you know, I'll get a client that will call me up and say, yeah, I got to do geo-targeting. Can we set that up? And they're like, well, you know, wait a minute. What exactly do you mean by geo? What are you looking to do? And then when you start asking them questions, it doesn't even align with what they want to do. It's just something that they were pitched on and it sounds really cool. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
So that's a loaded question because anyone that's coming in and saying you need a solution to solve your problems without knowing anything about your business or knowing what your problems are is strictly just looking to hit a goal or sell a solution because they're a salesperson. Without understanding really fundamentally what success looks like online with these campaigns for a business, it's impossible to know what that sales cycle looks for that business, where their intenders are engaging online to build a strategy that makes sure it aligns with who we're looking to get in front of. So, right, there's no end to acronyms right now, especially with digital marketing and SEO and SEM and programmatic and all of these different terms, right? The answer is really, again, understanding the business and what that sales cycle looks like. And I think that is one of the biggest things that gets overlooked with in many processes of, I guess, digital media sales is what does that sales cycle look like? I think, again, the most contrived but relevant thing is that that path to purchase isn't linear. And I mean, Google told us that in 2015. People in many cases don't just see something and say, okay, I'm sold and I'm going to buy, right? It's a matter of that top of the funnel, middle of the funnel, and bottom of the funnel, and making sure that, yeah, maybe we're utilizing programmatic to capture those individuals to then pull them into the middle of the funnel, which that middle of the funnel may be them re-engaging on social platforms, looking at their friends' pictures while also serving them that middle of the funnel ad, which is sequential to that top of the funnel ad, which they may have seen earlier while they were reading the news, while the bottom of the funnel may be retargeting, so on and so forth. So the real answer is that these strategies are custom built based upon, again, what the business is, where the businesses engaged in tenders are most likely to be engaging, and really putting together a strategy that makes sure all of your bases are covered. With that said, going back to what I had said first off, that path to purchase isn't just a straightforward process. And we know that within that sales cycle, you need multiple touch points. And by touch points, think about being at a toy store with your young child and they want a toy and you're not wanting to buy it. And it's, can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it? That same type of technology, or excuse me, that same type of tactic that young child is utilizing is really that same type of psychology with digital marketing. Once you introduce that individual, it's a matter of now, how many more times can we get in front of them and interact with them to get them to make an engaged buying interaction.
And it's over many channels, which is great. And the bottom line is it all starts with a plan. And that's what I tell the clients as we sit down with them as well is, look, I know you want to rank number one for, you know, tooth whitening or whatever it is. The problem is it's probably not going to happen no matter how many blog posts you write and how many backlinks you buy and spend as much as you want. But you could rank tonight, you know, if you do Google Ads. You know, there's definitely ways. You know, Google's not a free company. They don't want to give you free listings in the, you know, in your organic search. They want to make you pay to rank. That's the bottom. That's why they're a $70 billion company. And that's really important to understand that you have to come in to each advertising decision or marketing decision with a plan. Don't go at it at, you know, just random and willy-nilly and decide, yeah, I'm just going to, I'm gonna start doing reviews. I'm going to pay this company $4.99 a month for reviews. Is that your strategy? Great. If it's not your strategy, then don't do it. You know, put together a marketing plan. That's one thing we don't see with clients a lot. I will tell you about 99% of them don't have a marketing plan. And want to know one of the differences between, you know, a Walmart and a corner store, or why a corner store stays a corner store and, you know, a Walmart grows the way it does, is usually just a plan, a marketing plan. They, you know, they have something in front that they know what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. So critical. And yeah, I agree with you on all that. It's really important. I have to kind of come back to security. You know, according to a cybersecurity firm, Barracuda, 40% of internet traffic is made up of bots. Maybe you could explain how we protect our advertisers. Again, it goes back to the DSP, but you could explain a little bit more. So they're not wasting spend. Again, dumping that money into a pot and just letting it, you know, get exhausted is what happens a lot. And if you have, you know, bot traffic, how are we protecting, you know, our clients from this?
Sure. So luckily, because again, as you had mentioned, we utilize really, in my opinion, one of the best DSPs there is that really does a great job at making sure that it's not serving to nefarious clicks and essentially tracking to make sure that that individual IP address is not, again, just hitting your ads. The next level to that really many agencies, companies don't utilize is an on-site engagement listener that we utilize, right? What that allows us to do is to see direct attribution in that particular campaign. So meaning who clicked the ad, when they clicked the ad, where did they end up on your site? Once they got to your site, did they do something that looked like engagement? Did they spend a minute on your site? Did they sign up for a newsletter? Did they make a purchase? Did they schedule an online appointment, right? That allows us to gain insight into, is this a real person? Is it not a real person? And if it is a real person, do they really have interest in our product or service based upon what they did after clicking on the ad and coming into the site? That right there is absolutely gigantic, because it allows us to efficiently understand who we should continue to stay in front of within that purchasing process and who may be a bot or just a non-interested hobbyist.
Got it. So important. And I tell you, that's a critical one, because, you know, all day long, myself included, get hit with companies that are trying to get me to, you know, put advertising with them. And it's like, I do that, so you don't have to waste your time with me. But and then if you ask them questions to this, they don't know the answers to, or they've got to go back and get the answers, because they're salespeople and they're not building a strategy for you. What they're basically doing is trying to just, you know, take your money and spend it on you, which leads to the term, you know, spray and pray. And we kind of touched on this earlier. But that's a terminology that is used, and we see some legacy agencies that are just wasting spend by showing the same ad to viewers over and over again, essentially spamming the viewers. I'm sure we've all sat through Netflix soon, because Netflix will have advertising on their platform, but a Hulu or an Amazon, where you watch the same ad 4, 5, 6 times in a row, And you're thinking, good God, what are they doing? Why does this happen? Explain that. Explain that terminology and how that kind of works.
So from my shoes and being behind the scenes and setting these campaigns up and running these, when I see that, it drives me absolutely crazy, because it is just an absolute waste of advertising dollars. And what's happening there is, again, going back to a set and forget campaign approach of, we're taking your advertising funds, we're front loading it into a piece of software. The piece of software's goal is to spend your budget, right? And again, if there's no oversight, it's going to spend your budget. You're going to get a report that says, hey, you got this many impressions, high five, I hope it worked really well. And in many cases, especially with very, very large media groups and sometimes very small media groups, that's often the case. Just at scale, they utilize softwares that, again, their goal is to spend your funds because it is very profitable for them and takes little to no diligence to do so. With that being the case, we utilize setting these campaigns up with, again, checks and balances, right? Frequency caps, meaning an individual that is being targeted that is seen to be ideal, let's say we're only going to serve them three times within a day. If it's maybe a purchase or an online schedule, well, we know they need more touches within a day, it may be five times a day, with an actual weekly cap in regards to how many times we'll serve that individual content. Why that's important is because, again, it's not spray and pray. We're not just spending your money to get your ads out there. It's a matter of, let's serve the ad. Did the ad resonate? If it did resonate, that looks like then that individual re-engaging with an online search. For instance, when I watch TV now with my phone or my iPad in my hands, unfortunately. I think we're all sort of moving more towards this distracted ADD approach of watching or consuming content. But nevertheless, if I see a commercial and it captures my attention, the first thing I'm going to do is pull up my phone, pull up my iPad, and Google it and start my journey into whether I want to buy this product or service or not. We have the ability, when we serve these commercials, when we serve these display ads, when we serve these connected audio ads, to know that once that has actually been served to an individual, if they've made another action, to continue on that buying journey and actually track an individual all the way from an initial commercial view back to an online sign up, appointment schedule, purchase, whatever looks like engaged success on your site, to say, this is it. This is the right person. We're serving the commercial or the content to the right individual, and let's continue to do so based upon what they did after the fact, right? So as opposed to that spray and pray of, we're just going to serve to any and everyone, it doesn't matter how many times we serve to that individual, and we're not going to really track what happens during or after the fact. We're setting up a campaign to make sure that not only are we targeting the right person, but we're making sure that that right person is actually within that cycle to purchase based upon their reaction or actions on seeing that ad. And that is a game changer, because again, we're spending your funds to make sure we're continuing to be in front of that right person that looks most likely to engage or do business with you.
You know, and I talk about KPIs, you know, key performance indicators, a lot with clients and getting that set up. That's part of the strategy session, that we make sure that, you know, what does success look like? But, you know, what should a company identify as success, or, you know, what should be the expectation for a campaign? Explain that out a little bit.
Sure. So it's gonna change based upon the business, based upon the company, right? But at the very least, you can identify 3 to 5 things on your site that look like an actual engaged site visit. So again, it could look like a sign up for more information. It could look like and submit your email address for our newsletter. It could look like an online schedule. It could look like a phone call. It could look like anything that looks like an actual engaged visit should be something that you're going to want to track on your site. Because again, that is, if someone is taking the time to come to your site, consume content, which again, there's another KPI, right? 30 seconds or a minute spent on site. Typically, if somebody spends that amount of time on your site, they're consuming your content, they have some level of interest. And those KPIs essentially are what allow us to optimize campaigns based upon who is most likely to do business with you, based upon their online interactions with your website and with your campaigns. So that is really such a huge piece of the campaigns, because it aligns what success looks like, not only with us, but with the client as well. And then it allows the client to, again, more efficiently and effectively run these campaigns, because as we run these campaigns longer, we collect more information on these engaged individuals that come to the site. So for instance, if it's cosmetic surgery or if it's a longer sales cycle, I may start that process in May and come to your site, consume content, and in May, I don't really have the funds for it, right? Come back in June or July and getting a little bit closer, I've been saving my money. And then August, I'm ready to pull the trigger and come back and do that. With that being the case, if we were able to identify that all the way from March, April, or May, June, July, that individual had been coming to the site, getting more information, hitting some of the KPIs, we know that in July or in August that we should continue to stay in front of that individual based upon their previous actions, which look like leading up to a purchase. So all of those little, this is a throwback, micro moments, if you will, are what we're listening and looking for to help identify who is that right client.
It's also important. It all starts with a plan. That's what I try to explain to the clients. You know, if you're not planning this out, then you're not going to see. You just don't throw money at something. Yeah, I want $399 for SEO, or $500 I'm going to throw into this. It's really about establishing this plan and then setting goals, KPIs, and then working with a company. Greg, thank you. You've explained everything out in depth. I think it really gave us a good way for companies to ask better questions, better understand the process. If we could ever be more help, just visit us online at gizoom.com. That's GIZOOM.com. Book a strategy call. Talk to Greg or I. We can answer these questions directly. So we're definitely here to help with that and help you put a plan and a strategy together. Greg, thanks for being on the call with me today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Are you looking to target, drive, and track more customers, both online and offline? Need a smarter, ROI-focused digital strategy? Not sure if your current strategy is working? Gizoom can help. Schedule a strategy session today. Visit gizoom.com and let's make a plan.